And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, happy Monday morning to you. What's going on? How we doing?
Just take note that I did not try to speak before the mute.
That is true.
I could have, you know, noticed that the mute was muted before I did that. Yeah, I'd like to apologize to you guys and to the listeners too. Listeners who count on my sweet milky voice all the way till 9 a.m. So I'll tell you a quick story, which I kind of told you guys last night. I guess it was Saturday night, but it could have happened early. If anybody's ever had a tick embedded in them, you know, you probably have had it before. You're like, when the hell did that tick get into me? I thought this was just some itchy bite. And it's like, oh, there's a freaking tick embedded in my skin. So Katie and I got back from Joan Jett and Billy Idol, which, by the way, it was a great show. They both rocked. And Dagwood was up in there just like pumping it like, yeah. Little rebel, yeah.
There you go.
Was just jamming out, man. Yeah. Dagwood also brought his wife like I did. But anyway, we get home, get the Uber home, and go in the house, and all of a sudden I'm like, I notice this tick, and I can't find tweezers, so I rip it out of my ankle. And I don't like, did it get in when we walked in the house? I mean, I don't know. I mean, has it been in for a couple of days? That definitely happened before. But anyway, last night, the bite started really, I mean, I didn't even really think about the bite Sunday, which is stupid because if I would have, I just would have gone to urgent care. So this is where the apology comes in. Then I notice it and I'm like, oh, crap, are there any urgent cares? So if any medical, and there weren't. And so I have to cut out about midway through the show to go. But, like, if anybody out there is a medical expert, I've been on the internet a lot reading about Lyme disease and how, like, you lose half, like, movement of your face and stuff, and it really sounds terrible. So you know, if you're watching, if you're a medical expert at home, if you're, you know, a Twitter doctor, you know, you look at that bite, it just looks like the bullseye thing, you know? That's what we're worried about.
Yeah.
Which could be a sign of Lyme disease. Here you go, Phil. Here. This is some good radio and some really good, you know, video on radio of my bad picture of my tick bite. Oh, sorry. It just faded out.
There we saw it. See?
Check it out. Okay. All right. Okay. So let me know on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com, or on the YouTube chat, what I have.
Yeah.
Am I going to die?
Yeah.
Thank you.
The YouTube chat, let Joe know.
Lyme sucks, and you're going to die.
We're trying to avoid Lyme disease here on the program today, so we'll see if we can't do that. As the show goes on. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing good.
I assume better than Rex Road.
Yeah, no tick bites this weekend for me, at least not that I've seen yet. Maybe a little bit of a streak of poison ivy, but okay. I'm okay. Yeah, doing good.
Nature is winning the battle against Robbie and Rex Road right now.
No doubt, right?
Good gracious. Need to get ourselves under control out here. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans later in the program. Lots of things going on in the world of sports that we'll get to. I've got a question of the day for us to get to a little bit later this hour as well. Going a little chasing Big Joe style, Joe. So
yeah,
Prepare yourself for that. Joe, my apologies. Your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs and their Stanley Cup run comes to an end last night. They lose in Game 7 to the Florida Panthers. After shockingly going down to Florida and winning Game 6, I was stunned that they pulled that off. But they lost their seventh consecutive Game 7 last night against the Florida Panthers. And frankly, got smoked while doing so last night. 6-1 the final. They got booed off the ice at the end of it. It's almost 100% the end of the Core 4 era with Tavares and Marner being free agents this offseason. Joe, your thoughts on yet another disappointing playoff exit for the Toronto Maple Leafs to close out what is probably going to be the last time those four players in Nylander, Matthews, Marner, and Tavares are all together.
First of all, I'd like to thank them for winning Friday and giving me a big win in weekend winners. So I appreciate that, Maple Leafs. But then, you know, as soon as they did, they showed all those Toronto fans, like, you know, like every game now has to have like fans outside somewhere, like going nuts, you know, so the camera can go, look at these fans. They're like, yeah. I'm like, man, are you guys sure you want this? This is going to be more pain. But I mean, that second period, I mean, the Admirals would have smoked the Maple Leafs. Like, what happened?
I don't know.
It's just an incredible collapse, just an all-time, you know, they've had so many of them. I will also say, I don't, like, if you look at their team and Florida's team, like, I would say they did pretty well for themselves to take this to seven, right? I mean, Florida's the defending champ. Florida's a better team.
I agree.
So, like, you keep that in mind. Something like, we focus on their collapses and their, you know, the failures and all the misery. I mean, like, this, it's not like this is like the best team in the league and they're underachieving, right? I mean, like they're a team with some very, very talented players. It's that obviously don't go together perfectly.
They don't. It's hilarious. It frankly is just continues to be funny to watch this happen. Mainly just because of the way that some of their fans act. Like, it's just ridiculous. They think that they're God's gift to hockey. So every time that this happens to them, it's kind of funny. So I enjoyed it last night. But I am interested to see what happens here. Like, you know, obviously this ain't working. So, I mean, Marner's going to be gone. I'd be stunned if he's not gone. I think Tavares is probably going to be gone too. We'll see what happens on that front. But it is amazing. Like, they just flashed this graphic up on SportsCenter. I think them and the Avalanche have lost seven consecutive game sevens. Like, it's pretty hard to lose seven game sevens in a row. Pretty hard.
Yeah. No, wait. You're saying with the Avs, you're saying currently or like at some point the Avs?
Currently.
Did. Really?
Yeah. I mean, they're in their cup run. I don't know if they got to a game seven.
Yeah, yeah, that's wild. No, it's amazing, and it's like it really is. Like, you're just setting yourself up for heartbreak. Even when they, you know, when they play well, it's like you're just waiting on that to happen. I saw Dan Wolkin put this out last night. Like, what's the college football equivalent of like the Leafs? You know,
that's a good question.
Someone pointed out like Notre Dame. Which I guess, you know, although they just got to the title game at least, you know, yeah. So like that would be like the Leafs getting to the cup final would, that'd be pretty good. People would be, you know, they could live with that, but yeah, I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's the fan base. It's the tradition. It's the, we, you know, the, you know, we're better than you, but also like, I mean, now we're talking 58 years. Is that right? 58 years.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Oh, baby. Yeah, that's really, I mean, that was kind of, I mean, before Michigan won it last year, because they had a half of one since 1948.
Right.
You know, like, kind of like the same idea. And they had a lot of like bowl games and things like that where they came up short. So that could be them too. A lot of fan bases can, you know, it's like the, or even like the Celtics, although now they've been winning, but you know, it's like those fan bases that used to have a lot of success, but now they think they're still good, but they're not.
The final four in the NHL, you've got Florida and Carolina coming up in the Eastern Conference, and then Dallas and Edmonton in a heavyweight matchup in the Western Conference. So three of the four teams in the conference final were in the conference final a year ago in the NHL. So we'll see if there's any different result between Dallas and Edmonton, or if Connor McDavid and the company punched their ticket back to the Stanley Cup final. On the NBA side of things, the Thunder destroyed the Nuggets yesterday in Game 7, which sets up Thunder and Timberwolves in the West. And those New York Knicks get it done against the Celtics. They're taking on Indiana in the East. What do you make of the final four in the NBA, Joe Rexroth?
I'm not going to lie. I'm not super excited about it. And it's not just because my beloved Golden State Warriors are out. I just, Knicks Pacers, man. Oh, God. I just, like, the Cavs and the Celtics are the best two teams. I still totally believe that. And they both had injury issues, and I'm probably not giving the Pacers enough credit, but I think the Pacers are going to kick the Knicks' butt. And I think the Thunder are going to kick the Timberwolves' butt, and I think it's going to be Pacers Thunder. And boy, is NBA clearly fixing these playoffs, guys. Huh?
The two media markets that are just darlings in the NBA, Oklahoma City and Indiana. Get excited.
Yeah. My goodness. Okay, hold on. Ty says urgent care for a tick bite and no symptoms, and he's laughing at me.
Well, I mean, do you have any symptoms?
No, but the whole point with this thing is supposed to be you need to get the doxycycline in your system before you have symptoms. If you get symptoms, now you're screwed. This is my internet expertise coming through. I read a lot about Lyme disease last night.
I am not the person to talk to when it comes to Lyme disease expertise. So I'm going to go with your internet research here and say that you're right.
Why do you have to laugh at me, Ty?
Come on, Ty. He's up on Rex Road a little bit. Scottie Scheffler getting it done in the PGA Championship, his third major title. It was fun to watch, Joe. I'm sure you watched every shot over the weekend of Scottie Scheffler and what he was able to put out there. Good stuff from him over the weekend. Look, I'm not saying I need to be real careful about what I say here because people freak out when you do stuff like this. I'm not saying he's Tiger Woods, okay? Not saying he's Tiger Woods. I am saying if you look at what he's done over the last year and a half, 2 years, all the numbers suggest that he's basically Tiger Woods. Like he's right there with Tiger Woods over the last couple of years. He's got three majors now, and the numbers are ridiculous, and he won by 5 shots yesterday in the PGA Championship. So pretty good stuff. Hope people appreciate it because we're watching pretty great player do his thing in the golf world right now.
All right. Clip that up. Headline.
Up. I knew it.
Yep. There you go. Next, Tiger Woods.
Even like the CBS broadcasters yesterday started talking about that, and they were like, we want to be real careful here. But there's a lot of Tiger Woods stuff that he's doing out there right now. And it's like, all right, okay, I get it. But let's let him do it for a little longer.
Yeah. How much of that did you watch of the four rounds of that tournament?
I would say less on Thursday and Friday. I watched some. I watched all 18 holes of Scheffler Saturday. And I watched the entire thing yesterday. So a pretty good amount.
So wait, when you say all 18 holes of Scheffler, that's just following the regular broadcast? Or is that like...
They had an ESPN Plus group that he was featured in. So you could watch literally every shot. So that's what I did.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. The ESPN Plus setup for the golf is pretty good out there. So congratulations, Scottie Scheffler.
Good to know. Exciting news for me.
Yeah, I'm sure that when you were watching the whole thing, that's probably what you were watching it on. You just didn't quite know it at the time. Big golf guy, that Joe Rexrode.
I get so into it that sometimes I don't even – it's like I didn't watch it at all. You know what I mean?
I do know.
I blank out.
I know exactly what you mean. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We're off and running on Robbie and Rexrode. We'll take your reaction to the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, Scheffler winning the PGA Championship, all in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Plus, I'll get to our question of the day coming up as well. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in for the Indy 500 race on 102.5, the game this Sunday. Coverage beginning at 10 a.m. Coverage brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree beer. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Mixed opinions from the text line and the YouTube chat so far as to the medical attention that Joe Rexrode may need for his tick bite, which somebody says, Joe, I think you'll survive, to which you replied rightly, it survives good, but Lyme disease is not really all that fun. It's not a joke. So hopefully we avoid the Lyme disease today. That's the goal of our program today.
Yes, like George said, you got to take care of a tick bite rather fast. That's all of the excellent internet medicine information I'm getting to. So, you know, just trying to, like, you know, you get, you know, like Ty says, apparently he moved from Michigan. His parents are just like me, but he said that he's the, it'll be fine type. I used to be that type too. But you get to this age, and, you know, I assume that, like, a hangnail might kill me. So, you know, and I got to hurry today because, you know, flight to New York with no real ID. Real ID never came. Gonna be a great week.
Do we still have confidence that you can get on said flight? Or are we talking road trip?
Well, yeah, I mean, apparently it'll just be more delays. So I just have to get there. But now So I was going to be rushing right after the show for a 1 p.m. flight, and now I have to, like, you know, see someone, probably get antibiotics. So, like, how late, you know what I mean? How much is that going to push me back? So it'll be, I'm sure it'll all be fine.
I'm sure it'll be great. I'm sure everything will work out just perfectly for Rex Road today. 615, go ahead.
Texter says, as someone who frequently works in the woods and picks off many ticks, you're being soft, Joe. It's fine. I'm not saying I'm not being soft. I apologize from the start. I would rather be soft and be laughed at today. I hope I get laughed at today. Like, dude, this is like some, like, wolf spider bite or something. But, I mean, I know it's a tick is a problem, right? So, hey, man, let's all laugh at me. I want to tell the story tomorrow from my hotel room in New York of how I was laughed at and how everything's all going to be fine.
Someone says
Shania Twain has Lyme disease. Yeah. Okay.
I believe Shania Twain has Lyme disease. You'll be fine. Is that true? I don't know.
Well, first of all, even if it is true, do you know that she doesn't suffer from it? I mean, like, you know.
She does have Lyme disease. Diagnosed in 2004. Got a tick while horseback riding.
Damn, stupid freaking ticks, man. You know?
No joke. Now I'm like looking all over my body right now. I'm like, okay, do I have a tick? Is there any tick? I think I'm good. I think I'm good at the moment.
No, I mean, it seriously is like, and of course, here's another thing where I want to, you know what this partially is? Who walks the dogs in my house?
You do.
Who else does?
No one.
Thank you.
You're sacrificing yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I just come home every day and I just got ticks all over my body and everybody else is just sitting around not doing the dishes, not doing laundry.
It's a rough life Rex Road lives.
Yeah. Glad to leave them today, actually.
Rough life. So, Joe, my question of the day, I'm throwing this out there, and I think it's an interesting one when you factor in the expectations for each team. Which team is going to have the best year this year relative to expectations? The Tennessee Titans, Tennessee Vols football, or Vanderbilt football? That's my question of the day. Who will have the best season relative to their expectations? The Titans, the Vols, Vanderbilt. Now, I think we know generally what the expectations for the Titans are going to be, right? I mean, I think their win total, according to the Vegas odds, is at 5.5. So not very many people expect them to be very good this year. Tennessee is interesting. They've dropped down a full win since Nico Iamaliava left and is now the quarterback at UCLA. So I believe most sports books that I've seen have them now at 8.5 as their win total in terms of the over-under. I think it was at 9.5 before that. So a one-win drop, apparently, since Nico Iamaliava has left to be the quarterback. And then Vanderbilt, after a surprisingly really good year last year that came out of nowhere, Diego Pavia is back. And there's with that comes expectation for Vanderbilt to continue to try to build on what they had out there a year ago. So, Joe, I ask you, as we sit here and sift through this, looking ahead to the fall here, I mean, Vanderbilt's over-under win total is actually only 4.5, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. So keep that in mind and use that for what you will if you're Vanderbilt. Which team will have the best season relative to expectations? The Titans, the Vols, or Vanderbilt, Joe Rexroth?
Okay, so give me the three again. So you just said 4.5 for Vandy.
4.5 for Vandy. Tennessee is at 8.5, and the Titans are at 5.5.
Yeah, I have to go with Vanderbilt. With Vanderbilt, you think back to kind of the breakthrough second year under Clark Lea, and you think back to the huge wins over Kentucky and Florida, and then they weren't able to follow it up at all, you know, the next year. With A.J. Swan at quarterback, and they kind of went to Seals. But to Seals, Mike Wright had moved on. So, excuse me. Uh-oh. Hope that's not the Lyme disease. But 4.5 to me, I just feel better. I could see the Titans exceeding that. I think that's probably about right. I think 8.5 for the Vols is might be a little – I mean, look, I could see them – it's like the Vols have I think the expectations for them are going to be all over the map with the fan base.
Yeah.
Right? But like 8.5, if we're using that as our guide, because I can see the Vols pleasantly surprising, like with Merklinger plays well or something, and it's like, okay, you know, they still have a pretty good team. But 8.5 is with their schedule, I mean, you could easily find 4 losses on their schedule.
I think now
you can find 4 losses pretty easily.
I think you can. Like I'm looking at Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt, you know, they still, and it's the same SEC schedule that they had last year, just, you know, kind of the reverse of where they're playing. So they got South Carolina early. Like South Carolina, I think, could be pretty good this year. They've got at Alabama, you know, at Texas. Obviously, those games are going to be tough. At Tennessee. You know, I'm looking, you've got, you know, Auburn at home, Kentucky at home. You've got LSU, and, you know, LSU could be pretty good. We'll see. There's all this hype about LSU last year, and they did not come close to living up to it. Missouri at home. What are they going to be this year? Like 4.5, like I look at just the idea of Pavia coming back and what I think that offense can be. You got Charleston Southern, Virginia Tech, Georgia State, and Utah State as your non-conference games. Now, I realize they lost to Georgia State last year, so you have to keep that in mind. But I think Vanderbilt has got a chance to get back into the bowl game conversation again this year. I'm not going to go crazy and sit here and think that like Vanderbilt's going to end up with 9 wins this year or anything like that. Could they? I guess anything's possible. We'll see if they have a repeat performance of, you know, going down to Tuscaloosa and knocking off Alabama again or something like that. But I'm looking at Vanderbilt's schedule, and I do think that it's gettable to certainly get past 4.5 and maybe to get back into that 6 or 7 range again if things break right for them. You know, the Titans, we'll see. I think it's like almost entirely dependent on how good is Cam Ward, right? Like that's, you know, if Cam Ward is really good, they'll probably get over 5.5. If he's not, if he's okay, then the rest of their roster suggests that 5.5 is probably about right. Tennessee is the one where I have no idea. I have no idea how good Tennessee is going to be. I mean, I guess if Joey Aguilar comes in and plays well at quarterback and he's like just a perfect fit with what they do, I mean, could they be 10-2 and back in the college football playoff? Maybe. If he's not very good and they don't have much of an answer right now at quarterback and Merklinger's not ready and McIntyre's not ready, like they could be 7-5. I have no idea what Tennessee's going to be.
Yeah, like part of my – and that's the thing, you know, I don't know why. Just watching Aguilar, I think Merklinger is going to beat him up. We'll see. I mean, it was good to add somebody. And, you know, as we've talked about with him, like he was supported, air quotes, by one of the worst defenses in college football last year. So you have to keep that in mind when you look at like his performance regression. But at least, you know, there's competition there. And again, I'm holding off on McIntyre just as a true freshman. Yeah. Just, you know, if he pushes, really makes a run at it in fall camp, I guess you could look at that either way. Like, my gosh, they don't have anybody. Or it's like, wow, this guy could really be something. But for now, I've got to consider him third. Yeah, they're just – it's hard for me to feel good about 9 wins, you know, because that's what you're talking about. You're talking, if you're exceeding expectations, would be 9 wins. I think this is a, to me, it's a Vanderbilt Titans is the discussion for me here. Because, yeah, you could certainly make a case, if you look at the Titans schedule, and just assume, like, Cam Ward, even if he's erratic as a rookie, I've seen enough for him to feel like he's going to have at least a couple really good days, right, this year, I would think. And so you look at their schedule, and you can get yourself to 6-7 without too much trouble.
So that's the question of the day, throwing it out there. Which team will have the best season relative to expectations, the Titans, the Vols, or Vanderbilt? We'll take your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Let's quickly go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim, who has some advice for Rex Road on the Tick Bite. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just to let you know, I know it's all funny about talking about ticks, but I work with a guy who got a tick bite, and some ticks carry disease that when they bite you, you can't eat beef or pork anymore. He can only eat fins and feathers.
Oh, yeah.
Just imagine where you couldn't have steak or bacon or ham, or you could only eat chicken or fish. So, I mean, it's funny to laugh at them, but you should be careful with ticks. Don't let them get on you, because I can't imagine going through life not being able to eat a good steak anymore.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Thank you, Tim, for the call.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a – actually, I have a relative who had that.
Right.
I guess it's called Abigail disease. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine, like, what the heck would I do?
A lot of corned beef hash, I guess, with some ostrich meat.
That's that actually sounds pretty amazing. Corned ostrich hash. Sounds with see, there's a emu. Positive out of all this.
Yeah. People do that. People eat apparently emu. You could do it. You can eat emu meat. I'm like,
really?
Googling right now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if this whole tick thing doesn't work out for me. We'll find some new birds to eat. Thank you.
Gout is mental. No, it is not mental.
615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Throwing it out there. Which team will have the best season relative to expectations? The Titans, the Vols, or Vanderbilt? William on the text line says, Vanderbilt should get a bowl game. I think Vandy will perform best versus the expectations. For the Vols, Nico was not what made or broke that team. We'll have a fire lit under us with Nico's disrespect that we'll go over on wins. Titans is William's big question mark. Honestly, ready to pick a new NFL team is what William says. So. William, about to give up on the Titans, apparently, says that Nico was not what made or broke the Vols. Joe, your thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, Nico was not great last year, but to me, the Tennessee as a playoff team, or Tennessee as a really good team this year, needs great quarterback play. They don't – like last year, they had elements that – offset not having it. And again, I think Nico was pretty good. I think he got better. I think, you know, I think the Alabama second half was pretty freaking, he made some pretty clutch plays, man, in that game. I just think that this year, a lot of my optimism, they're still going to have good D. They're still going to be able to run the ball, that stuff. But a lot of my optimism was Nico's going to take that big step, and then they're going to be, in some ways, you could see how they could be a scarier team if that were the case, and you know, if there was a great receiver to emerge. And now, yeah, it's just, I mean, look, you're throwing someone very young or very new to the offense in, and with frankly not as much talent as him, and hoping that you can do the same thing. I mean, I think that's asking a lot.
I don't know if pressure is the right word, because like I don't think that Clark Lee is in danger of losing his job or anything like that heading in this year. Like, right, you know, obviously he did an outstanding job last year, and he adapted, you know, to the first few years of his team that were very disappointing, and they had different results last year offensively with what they did with Jerry Kill coming in, and obviously Pavia being the driving force at quarterback. It was awesome, and it was fun to watch, and Vanderbilt fans loved it. Now, can you build on it, and what happens if you don't? Like, how disappointing is it, I'm looking at Vanderbilt's schedule, if they don't get back to a bowl game this year? I mean, I brought it up. Their SEC schedule is not easy, right? Like, they've got some really tough games in the SEC. You know, they do have a trip to Virginia Tech this year, and, you know, you got the big win against Virginia Tech at home last year, but you do have to go on the road and play Virginia Tech this year. So, I mean, there is a scenario where – they are like a 4-win team this year. I would probably still be surprised if it goes down that way. But, Joe, let's say it does, and they're unable to get back to a bowl game. What would that mean? What sort of a setback would that be for Vanderbilt this year if that's the way it goes?
Yeah, it'd be a tough setback with Pavia back for sure. It's certainly possible. I mean, it's just – and, you know, like, recruiting has gone well. It seems like they did pretty well in the portal. They just got a 4-star corner. Obviously that's we're talking about down the road, but I mean, high school recruiting, they've had some success. But yeah, when you have Pavia back after last year, to me, it's just 6-6 in a bowl game. that some Vanderbilt fans, maybe they're not thrilled by that. I think realistic Vanderbilt fans understand playing in this league, that's a darn good season for Vanderbilt football. But you come up short of that, and you know, that's a disappointment. There's no way around it. It's a disappointment. It's a tough job, you know. But last year, we were talking a year ago about, we were talking hot seat with Clark Lee, and like, you know, where is this going after the disappointment of 2023? You know, what's the pathway to them winning? And all the stuff he did last offseason turned out to be brilliant, you know. And so I mean, kudos to him. Pavia has been, to me, Pavia is already one of the most beloved Vanderbilt athletes. Maybe I'm overstating things, but I mean, I think just his swagger, his playmate, I mean, it just is incredible. So to have him back, that is a huge, that alone, like, is worth the price of admission, right? But yeah, then if you go 4-8 with that, it's like, man, you know, it feels like a squandered opportunity. So I feel like Clark Lee did a lot to stabilize himself last year, and we still always have to keep in perspective the difficulties of Vanderbilt football in the SEC. It's hard, man. But this year, yeah, you get to a bowl game. I mean, I think Vanderbilt fans expect that, and I think they should expect that.
Well, it's also, you're coming off a year where if you asked this question last year, you know, my answer probably would have been Tennessee. Like, if memory serves me correctly, I think Tennessee's over under last year was, I think it was 8.5. So, like, I think it's exactly what it is now. And I would say, well, you got Nico coming in, and what if Nico's really, really good? And Nico wasn't really, really good. He was good, and he got better as the year went on. They still got the 10 wins. But the actual answer to this last year ended up playing out Vanderbilt, right? Like, Vanderbilt blew expectations out of the water with what they did a year ago. So you're coming off that, and does that raise expectations with the fan base even more heading into this year? Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Mike in Gallatin to the program. Mike, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So I've been a Vanderbilt season ticket holder for football for as long as I can remember at this point. And I'm just trying to pump the brakes on, like, exceeding the expectations for myself, because I feel like we've gotten to that point as a Vanderbilt fan before, and we've been let down in the past. What scares me about the way the season ended, we had a bowl game win that was nice, but if you watch the SEC games after the Alabama win, if I'm trying to remember the schedule correctly, they started to kind of figure Diego out. And there was some pretty, like, you know, not blowouts. We were still competitive, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm worried that the system's going to get figured out. And more than six wins is a crazy thing to even think about at this point. Like, if we make it back to a bowl game, I'm excited. But I just kind of feel like that the SEC was slowly starting to kind of figure Diego out. And with the way the schedule shaking out, going back to Alabama, like you guys said, having to head to Texas, that's definitely some pretty tough places to have to go in there and try to win. I'm just not seeing how you're going to get better than what you got last year. So I'm just kind of enjoyed what we got last season. It was just a special, hoping for more. But as a Vandy fan, we have to kind of, you know, keep our expectations that low so that we can continue just to live in that state that we currently live in, which is emotionless at times.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. Joe, it is amazing, like, looking at the road games for Vanderbilt on this schedule. This is their road schedule this year: at Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, at Alabama, at Texas, at Tennessee. That's their road games this year. That's kind of crazy. Like, that's an incredible road schedule there.
Yeah, that is tough. I mean, they do have, you know, they've got a lot of games that I think they're going to be favored in, or right, it'll be very close. But yeah, those probably take a toll collectively, just to have to play those teams on the road. And look, there's a physical toll, and there's also the emotional toll. You could definitely see a blowout or two in there. Then what does that do? I mean, last year's team, if you remember, like, you know, look, they lost in double overtime Missouri, game they should have won. You beat Bama, you beat Kentucky, lose by 3 to Texas. You know, beat Auburn on the road. The last two, to the caller's point there, two of the last three, you know, South Carolina kicked their butt. That defense absolutely swarmed that offense. And again, South Carolina had NFL dudes all over that defense, and yep, they had a good plan. At LSU was a game they could have won. They lost 24-17. There's a game they could have won, but not a great offensive game. And then Tennessee was down big and ends up, you know, beating them soundly, 36-23. It's an interesting question of did defenses figure them out? I totally understand the sentiment. I also I think a huge part of last year, and not to say it won't happen again this year, you know, that Kentucky game where they win. I mean, Pavi at that point could barely walk.
Right.
And he was messing – he was dealing with that all year. If you look at how he ran compared to earlier in the year, then I thought he looked more like himself in the bowl win over Georgia Tech, you know, 35-27 win. I still think that if you execute that offense and that they're as creative as they have been with, you know, you got your shovel pitches. Obviously, you have a lot of option stuff. You have to demand, you know, assignment defense from the defense. But then how well can you throw out of that? And if he takes another step as a player, if they execute, if they have good game, I think there's going to be some really good days for that offense this fall.
More of your thoughts to get to coming up next. Which team will have the best season relative to expectations? The Titans? The Vols or Vanderbilt? This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Throwing it out there, which team will have the best season relative to expectations this fall? The Titans, the Vols, or the Doors? Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Cam says, I think as a whole, it'll be a very meh year for all three of those teams. The Titans have the best chance, in my opinion, just based off the close games last year with what we hope is a better quarterback. Expectations are 5 to 6 wins. I think they could get to 8. This is from Cam on the text line. Joe, if I had to answer this question, my answer would probably be Vanderbilt. I think they can get to 6 wins again, as I said earlier. I think the one that has the chance to blow it out of the water the most would be the Titans. Like, I can't. With Vanderbilt's schedule, I couldn't see much more than 6 or 7 wins. Like, I'd be stunned if they got more than that based on, you know, just some of the road games I just said. You're going to Texas, and you're going to Tennessee, and you're going to Alabama. Like, it's a heck of a task they're going to have with some of their road games this year. You know, the NFL, we've seen it, Joe. If you get really good quarterback play, and we'll see if Cam Ward can provide that immediately or not, but if you get it, like, that can go a long way in this league. So, like, if Cam Ward comes in and is really, really good, could the Titans get to 8 or 9 wins? Like, to me, when you're almost doubling your win total, that's blowing expectations out of the water at that point, right? Again, I don't know that I expect that to happen. I'm just saying, like, of these three options, the one that has a chance to, like, really exceed their expectations would be the Titans. The one that I think is most likely to actually do it, I would answer Vanderbilt.
Headline, the game Nashville host predicts Titans have a winning record. I think I just heard you say that. You did say 9, right?
You did
say 9. Boy.
Get after
it. If the Tennessee Titans in 2025 win 9 games, I mean, I think I might just sign Cam Ward to a lifetime, you know, like a $400 million guaranteed contract immediately without even knowing if it has anything to do with it. As far as I know, Tim Boyle may just come in sling it around. But
you see my point, right? Like, if he's great, then you've got a chance.
You do. I mean, the schedule is does it rank like fourth?
They're
easiest?
Fourth easiest.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, again, I mean, being in this division is a good thing. I mean, the Jags have a teenager running things down there, and the Colts are just a complete bleep show. I'm sorry, Indy Ben, but my God, I mean, everybody in that organization messes something up on a daily basis. So. You got a chance being in this division. I think that over under is about right. I think they end up hovering around that, but I agree that there's more runway for them. Whereas I'm with you, Vanderbilt. I definitely can see. I can find 7 for Vanderbilt, but again, you're still, you know, okay. Like, do you think Auburn isn't pissed off and like determined to not lose 2 straight to Vanderbilt this year? I mean, like the SEC is tough. But I think they can do that. But I'm with, like, beyond 7, I think, is really asking a lot. And then, again, the Vols are very interesting. Yeah, like, some textures have been like, well, Vols fans are, you know, unrealistic. But, again, we're going by Vegas over-under. And I don't think, like, Vols fans, everybody is going to have that preseason optimism in August, right? That happens to every fan base. So I guess maybe even more to that fan base. But seems to me like people are being pretty – realistic here. Like, look, it's just there's a lot of question marks on this team.
There are. Now, look, they don't have like some unmanageable schedule here, right? Like, they've got a non-conference game against Syracuse, which I understand they don't have Nico, but, I mean, Tennessee is going to be favored against Syracuse. I mean, matter of fact, I think last time I looked was like a week ago, and they're still a double-digit favorite. So, like, they're going to be a favorite against Syracuse. Obviously, they got Georgia in week three, and that's, you know, get them early this year. They typically play them later in the year. It's at home. You know, they've still not really come all that close to beating Georgia. Like, they played really well against them for a half last year on the road, and then Georgia took over in the second half. So we'll see. You know, if you get them early at home, is there a burst of energy there? I don't know. But you got Georgia. You got Mississippi State again, who I don't think is going to be very good. Arkansas beat you last year. You got them at home this year. You're on the road at Alabama, on the road at Kentucky. I have no clue what Oklahoma is going to be this year. And the Florida game is way late. Florida game is the second to last game of the year this year. It's in November.
So weird.
On the road. So it's a different type of schedule for them this year. But in terms of like purely the opponents, it's not like it's some unmanageable schedule. Yeah, you got Georgia and Alabama. You've had them every year. Other than that, like there's no real daunting game on there other than those two.
Right. And by the way, apologies for that. You know, as somebody pointed out, like if the symptoms are not being able to mute in time to stop the cough from being heard, then and I already have Lyme disease. So, but I mute when I don't want to.
It's true.
But no, look, if you look at Tennessee's schedule, look, Alabama, it's not, we say Alabama, but is it Alabama, Alabama anymore? No,
I don't know.
Until further notice, they're not. You know, we'll see. You know, we'll see where it goes under Kalen DeBoer. But right now, that's not obviously peak Saban Alabama. They still have a lot of talent, but we don't know what's going on with them at QB too. So I mean, Georgia's the only team where it's like, yeah, that might be. Even without knowing a lot of things about Tennessee's team, that's the only game I look at and say, yeah, probably keep your expectations low for that one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good. Yeah, it's good to have, to me, Oklahoma in your place this year. Even Arkansas. I mean, and I think Kentucky might stink. I think Kentucky might just flat out stink this year.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey guys, I think it's going to be Vanderbilt for the very reason that y'all giving the excuses for is quarterback play. We don't know what Tennessee's got. You know, we don't know how Cam's going to do because, you know, when we got Will Levis, we thought he was the second coming to Mayo.
Nice. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. So quarterback play, going with Pavia. Now, you know, Pavia is great. Can he stay healthy? I think it's a big question. Hey, look, Joe, I am curious. You know, they obviously did things offensively last year that people were not prepared for. Is it different this year? Like, can Vanderbilt and Pavia and that staff go out there and do it again in a league, Joe? Well, while they're, you know, while recruiting has gone better for Vanderbilt and while obviously they've made some good additions in the portal, from an overall roster talent standpoint, they still are not, you know, Alabama and Texas and Tennessee and these places. So is the quarterback play going to be good enough to overcome that, where you're talking about 7-8 wins at the end of the year? That's where you get into, you know, how much can the quarterback play elevate you when the roster is not Texas and it's not Tennessee and it's not Alabama and some of these other teams?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they had some losses too, some skill losses. I mean, Eli Stowers is back, though. He's a heck of a player. But, yeah, Pavia needs to take another step. Again, I feel like with that offense, what I really enjoyed about it is, you know, week to week, it could look different. Obviously, there's always the option element to it, but I think they did that a lot less later in the year, just in part, I assume, to protect him a little bit more. And because he just wasn't as effective when he was banged up. Now, the way he plays, does he avoid getting banged up? I mean, that's a big question too. That he does not like to slide, go out of bounds. He likes to try to run over a linebacker, which is awesome and fun, but then sometimes can get him in trouble. But I just think when you execute a creative option offense like that, and then you have the passing ability that he has, you know, he may not be an NFL quarterback, but I mean, he can make the throws. That's where it just really, you just don't find too many offenses out there. I think Navy's offense now with their quarterback is, you know, it's like it's option, but they actually they do more than just every once in a while throw a deep pass, you know, on play action, and the same with Vanderbilt. So I think the scheme is going to be fine.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get back into this conversation a little bit later in the program. Coming up next, some interesting decisions about to be made in the NFL as it relates to the NFL playoffs. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rexrow, 1025-1063, The Game.